We do that last stanza for us again.
Yes, you can. 771, everybody. Oh, victory in Jesus. Let me turn there real quick. 717, thank you. And here we are. Can we do first and last stanza, brother?
Just the last one is
just
good.
Just the last one. All right, that must be the one. I bowed on the entrance, it filled for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the songs of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you, Brother Hall. Thanks to all of you this morning, and God is good. And all the time, God is good. We have been blessed once again to be called out to still be here. You know, some people that got their name called are not with us this day. They have been called from this earth. They have been called away. But we are eternally grateful that God is still blessing us because he is still in the blessing business. And I'm so thankful to be on his blessed side this morning. And you ought to thank God to be on his blessed side this morning. For God is the best God there ever was, and he's the only God for us. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God, many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This morning, for a few minutes, I don't plan on being very long, but I'll be just long enough to get the word that I have out to you. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us once again. You have treated us kind with your kindness. You have watched over us with your love, your mercy, your grace, your compassion. Father, we're just so thankful this morning. We're thankful to be here, and we're thankful to be with our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Father, we didn't know last night when we laid our heads down on our pillows if we were going to be able to get them up again this morning, but you have blessed us and we're thankful once again. Father, we are praying this morning for the leaders of this local congregation here. We are praying and asking you to continue to give them strength and the movement of their limbs that they may continue to guide us. We're praying this morning for the sick and the shut in. We're praying that if sickness is at your house, Father, that you might visit their houses and their places of work, that they may be healed if it be your will. I thank you, Father, for this morning in my life. I thank you, Father, for this morning and all of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, we pray that we have done the things that are decently in order up to this point, and we ask you to be with us if we have, and if we have not, please forgive us, O Lord, and help us to be better at it. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for those who stand in on the front lines of battle all over the world, guarding our freedom. Thank you for them, Lord, and I pray that the soldiers and the troops may come home soon, and that they be well accepted by the country, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us, but especially thank you because you sent your Son to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. Father, we pray for all of those who stand in the need of prayer, and I believe that's just about every one of us. Father, I pray for the ones who are behind prison bars, that if it be your will, Lord, that you might give them faith and that they might hold on to that faith that they have. Be with them, O Lord. Give them strength, O Lord. Give them courage. And most of all, Father, give of yourself to them that they might learn to be obedient to your word. Father, I thank you for so much and for everything. And Father, it is in this time, in this hour, we are set to worship thy in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Let the church say amen. We find in this psalm that I just read to you a plea for help from the psalmist. He was in a jam meaning a very difficult situation, and here it is described as a pit. I know we normally would be looking for a message on Mother's Day, but instead, I believe a message of inspiration to lift us all up would be helpful and well-meaning to us all. When we get into a jam, we often begin to question our personal selves. Questions come up like, does God care about my troubles or my problems? Does anybody care? Is there a way out? The answer to these questions, does God care? Yes, God cares. Does anybody care? Maybe or maybe not. Is there a way out? Yes, God can bring us out. Mothers know about troubles because they are the family who the family relies on when troubles come our way. Mothers understand that God is our first line of defense when we need help. So let us look into the Word of God this morning for a few pointers. We are not given to know what kind of pit the writer of this psalm was in. But according to verse number 2, we are told it was a horrible pit. There are many situations we may face in our lives. We may find ourselves in deep trouble sometimes because life is full of pitfalls. Satan himself has all kinds of traps to catch and trap us in. Jesus told Peter in Luke 22, verse 31, Satan has a desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, we are told to watch out, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He has an eye on us even today. He does not care that we are here at church. He does not care that we are here to serve Christ today, for he is still in the recruiting business. He doesn't care what he has to do to get us. He will go to any and all lengths to accomplish his goal. Sometimes the situations we find ourselves in may be caused by others. People can cause us all kinds of troubles and get you into all kinds of jams. On the other hand, we cause ourselves much of our own troubles. For nobody forces us to drink, cheat, steal. Nobody but ourselves causes us to get in debt or to overeat, nor other stuff we may harm our bodies with. We do that ourselves. When we find ourselves in one of these pits, excuse me. When we find ourselves in one of these pits, when we see no way out, then we call upon our God, for he already knows the end while we are still stuck at the beginning of the situation. When the Jews were forced with the red, faced with the Red Sea in front of them and their slave masters behind them, either way meant hopelessness to them, but not to God. He knew just what to do to get them into safety on the way to where he had promised to lead them. So this psalmist was in this horrible pit. And I'm not quite sure, there's been controversy whether he was actually in a pit or not. The Bible tells us it was a horrible pit. No doubt sometimes we feel that there isn't anything we can do. There are hundreds of books and motivational seminars given each and every year. They tell us to be positive, think positive, take charge of our lives to determine our own destiny. But there are some things we cannot do anything about, church. We can read all the books we can get our hands on, listen to all the seminars that are available to us, but none seem to help when we need it the most. So what I suggest is to read in one book and one book only. We need the authority on books, the Bible. We need a motivational speaker who can really help us out, one who can really make a difference in our lives. In verses 1 and 2, I want you to notice what the Bible says. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He inclined to him, but the first thing you might notice there is what the psalmist said. He said, I waited patiently. Sometimes we have to put ourselves to the side and wait on the Lord. What does that mean? That means you have to, when you give him something, leave it with him. Leave it there with him, for he is able to handle whatever situation we come into. He says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined to hear my cry and heard my cry. God gave him an ear to David's cry and heard him. Take notice, if you will, at what the Lord can do for us in verse number 2. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet up on a rock and established my step. He has established my steps. Now the writer was not thought to be in a literal pit. Instead, all the research that I've looked through suggests he was perhaps a very sick man, perhaps even near death. But the Lord works wonders every day, and he can work wonders still for us today. The psalmist was in a great despair, so he did the only thing he knew to do, and that was pray. When things go wrong in our lives, that's the time when we need prayer. What do we pray about? Somebody may say, well, we need to pray about anything. We need to pray about everything, according to Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. No matter what may be going on with you, talk to God about it. David was in deep trouble, but while he knew what to do, it was the prayers that caused God to hear him again. To hear him. And then in verse number 1 and 2, as I just read, he says that he heard my cry. He brought David up out of this horrible pit. This is for the mothers today. This part is for the mothers today. No matter what you may be going through, mothers, at this time, God can bring you out. He can set your feet up on a rock. When your children and or your spouse causes you grief and heartaches, you need to put them in the Lord's hand. When the only song that you know is a blues song, you need the Lord to put a new song in your heart and on your lips. Look what verse number 3 says. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Now what are you saying, preacher? If the only song you know is that of trouble and troublesome times, a blues song, the one that you learned 20 years ago, you need to trust in God and he will give you words to praise him by. Blessed, verse number 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respectful, not the proud or such as turn aside to lies. What are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying you need to trust in the Lord. You need to go with the Lord. Allow yourself to know God, for he is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. But we need to have faith and trust in him. I might want to say a word to our children too. That may be the cause of your grieving, your mother's grief. I say this, stop thinking you know how to raise yourselves better than your mom. For she has more experience than you. Allow her to be happy and not grieve. The experience of this psalm today shows us the power of waiting on God. It shows us just what the Lord can do for us. No matter what life sends our way. And oh yes, our God is the only full-time God available. He's the only one for us to call upon. Day or night, he is always ready and able to do whatever we need to be done, for us to ask whatever we need and to do whatever we ask him to do. Look at verse number 5 of the text once again. Verse number 5 says, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The Lord is so good. You can't count everything the Lord has done for you, because he's done too much for you, so much for you. Well, what do you mean, preacher, he's done so much for you? Well, just think about it. The simple act of you breathing in and out this morning is because of God. The simple act of you waking up this morning, not because you woke up, but because God woke you up. The simple act of you feeling as well as you feel today, and I know some of us don't feel as well as we'd like to feel, but I always say, thank God you're feeling at all. When you think about it, God is just too good to us. I want to change that word from God is good to God is too good to us. His abilities and his thoughts are on us today. And today, I may as well tell you, is unlike yesterday, because we have been given another blessing, the breath of life again. You know, and some folk like to say to themselves, I was so good yesterday, but I'm going to be even better today. I'm going to do great things today, but you don't know what you're going to do today. You don't know what God might allow you to do today. You ought to say, if it's God's will. And then, I don't know, as I said, what kind of situation the psalmist was in. But I know one thing, and one thing, if I don't know anything else from these first five verses of Psalms chapter 40, I know one thing. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. That means he leaned in and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet up on a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Church, you ought to wait patiently on the Lord. God is the way out this morning. God is the only way out, no matter what you find yourself in. And when he found himself in this jam, and he wasn't jam to make a sandwich with either. He found himself in a horrible pit. And what about this horrible pit? Well, the Lord heard his cry and picked him up and raised him out of this horrible pit. Now, if he was sickness, or if it was sickness, he apparently got him to the point where he felt better, perhaps. If it was a physical pit, then he got him out of it physically. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying that God can do anything he wants to do because he is God. Now, when I think about all the things that the Lord has done for me, and I'm going to speak to me right now because I know the preacher. So when I speak of this preacher's experiences, I can tell you that the Lord has been good to him. The Lord is still blessing him. The Lord is still taking care of him. When I feel bad sometimes, I know that I can go to God in prayer and I can become better usually, because God is able to answer all my prayers. If he will, he can answer all my prayers. And then when I consider how the Lord will incline to David so that he heard David's cry, I'm so blessed this morning and so wonderfully blessed this morning because he can hear my cry as well as your prayer. Well, what do you think, preacher? Well, I think this. If God will hear David's prayer, why won't he hear your prayer? All you got to do is pray to him. All you got to do is ask him for whatever it is that you want or whatever it is that you need. He will supply all our needs. Yes, he has given us another blessing, the breath of life. Let us get right, let us do right, and let us live right with that same God. You know, God has spanned the annals of time. He was back there with David, and he's still with us today. Now, that's a wonderful God. I tell you this morning that God is all the time on time. He is never late. He is right on time. And when I consider all the wonderful works, isn't that what the Bible says? Many, O Lord, O God, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. What are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Now, I tell you every so often when I come down here in the mornings, I tell you, I talk about different things. I put a cap on it with talking about different things. But what I want to speak to you about for a minute here now is just simply God. I don't know why the church is not full this morning, but God knows. I don't know where everybody is at this morning, but God knows. I don't know what shall become of any of us, but God knows. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. I don't know where you'll be tomorrow. I don't know where we'll be next week, but God knows. And I just pray that we're all still here. Because I want us all to live a long and a full life. And you know something? When God is ready, He will call us one by one. One by one, He'll call us. And I'm so glad to be a child of God this morning. You know, I've been on the other side of this life. And many of you may have too. But thank God you're on this side this morning. And there are some things that God has done for us that you may need to thank Him for. Many things have come our way and caused us to change. And I go back to Bible class this morning, where the writer wrote about vanity of vanity. How that as we age, we're going to start having troubles. And I'm having most of those troubles that he mentioned right now. But I tell you something. They don't last always. Thank you, Brother Hill. But one thing I do know. If you live, you're going to have some issues. And you can talk about people who have lived for a long time and they ate the right foods, put the right drinks in their bodies, but they still died. So all I'm saying is that we're all going to die one day. And when we die, we want to wake up and get up on the right side of God. That means you have to live right while you live. That means you might have to do right while you're still here. That means you have to pray right, ask right, do right, and live right. Well, what does that consist of? Go to your Bible. I want you to look it up for yourself. But when you think about it, the Bible is the book of instructions and directions. It'll direct you from earth to glory. It'll show you the way to get from earth to glory. Well, I've been trying for a long time, somebody might say, to get it right. Well, just keep on trying. As long as you're still here, you got an opportunity to get it right. It's when you're no longer here, work while it is day, for night comes when no man can work. I told you there are a few things in this life that technology is moving so far and so fast ahead of us, I can't keep up with. I barely know how to answer my phone at home, much less talk on the cell phone. But I'll tell you something. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have technology that's moving faster than we can think? I told you some things I don't trust. I don't trust backup cameras on cars. I don't trust self-driving cars. I don't trust cars that can outthink me. I don't trust computers that are faster than you can speak. And I especially don't like the microphones in your house where you tell your microphone to play this or do that or do this. I don't trust those things. There are a lot of things in life that I don't trust. But one thing that I do trust, and that is God's word. I trust God's word. You know why? It's proven. It's proven that it's the right thing. And if God be wrong, if the Bible is wrong, then I'll be wrong all my life. Because I'm going to trust in the word of God. When I trust in the word of God, I believe that I'm getting it on right authority on whatever the Bible says. And somebody might say, well, the Bible was written by men, but they were inspired men. They were breathed on by God and given the word to put in the Bible. Now, I know that there are many versions of the Bible today, but whatever version you read, just make sure it's the word of God. There are some that's not worth the print, the paper that it's printed on. But you need to make sure you're studying from God's word. For God's word will tell you where you came from, where you're going, and where you've been. All at the same time. So just trust in the Lord, and he will make it all right. Now, what is it that you're lacking in your life? Well, if you don't have God in your life, you're lacking God. If you don't have the word of God in your life, you're missing the word of God. And then, when you have successfully been baptized into the Lord's body, the body of Christ, and become a member of the body of Christ, you'll know how to study, how to understand certain things that you don't know how to today. That you may not know how to today. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying you come to God by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already been there, and I like this part because I was talking to my grandmother many years ago, and she couldn't understand why she needed to be baptized to become a member of the Lord's body. She was baptized as a child somewhere in a creek somewhere out in the country. But she couldn't understand why she had to redo it. And I explained to her that if you got the wrong baptism, then you're not right. You're not listening. You're not obeying the word of God. So if you were taught wrong, guess what? You were baptized wrong. And if you were baptized wrong, then you're in the wrong church. There's but one church. So with that said, I finally got my grandmother to understand some things. But praise be to God, she didn't make it to that point to get rebaptized. She lived 97 years. But she didn't get it on the right way, didn't get baptized in the right way. So is she lost? I wish I could answer that question for you. But all I know, and I don't want to say who, but somewhere in the church, the local congregation that I took her to, they dropped the ball. They didn't do what I asked them to do. I asked them to go and get her and teach her, finish teaching her. But they didn't. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. If you're trying to teach somebody, follow through with it. Take them all the way. Don't take them part of the way. If they're listening to you, bring them all the way. Bring them all the way to the pool at the church. And then, like Brother Jackson will baptize you. If you haven't been baptized, he'll baptize you. We don't have to wait till the fourth Sunday or the fifth Sunday. We don't have to wait until you get letters of recommendation to come forward. If you're a candidate, you're a candidate. And you can become a member of the Lord's body. Now, if you've already been through those steps and you say, I've already been baptized, you ask yourself this question. If you've gotten yourself right with God, then come forward, ask the church to pray for you and pray with you, and then you live obedient from now on. If that's your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.